Friday thing.
The views and opinions expressed by guests on the show are their own and do not reflect the views of the creators, hosts, or that of Cryer Media or their partners. The show may cover sensitive topics and information and discuss triggering issues. Listener discretion is advised.
You do it one more time. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Dean. I regret that we have to actually do that.
Why? I think it's funny.
I think it's funny too. Don't get me wrong. Because it's a statement about the world of content entertainment. If some of the things we discuss trigger you, that's where we're at.
I love it.
Because everybody's like, I might get triggered. Maybe I'll watch it. Like
legally speaking, though, it's a safety measure.
Yeah, 100%.
But you can be upset about it, and I understand that. But
for everybody who has an issue with everything, because it's just the time we live in. Oh, take
yeah.
You get triggered by two guys talking about...
Whatever. Who cares?
Penis size? You get triggered by two guys talking about stoicism? We talked to Moskrop yesterday about it. You get triggered by talking about Costco hot dogs being $1.50 and that being a cult in itself, you get triggered by that, then don't listen to this show. Because that's
Dean, there are many examples outside of those very few content examples that you brought up where I have felt like maybe we should have played the right. There maybe. Are times where things happen on this podcast, and I love you, but I have had moments where I was like, I would like to be legally protected, and maybe I should look into insurance, liability insurance.
When Canada Proud sued us, it was the first thing the lawyer asked you, because you get insurance. I'm like, yep. He's like, really?
Does that cover me?
Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, yeah, it does, unfortunately. But we're probably going to have to strike out and get some extra insurance. Anyway, nice to see you. How are you? How's your life?
I'm good.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Right. We didn't talk a lot about the eclipse this week, which was like first time in 400 we had a full eclipse all the way through southern
dipping
United
our
States,
toes into it.
Yeah, we talked about it, but I you know, we haven't talked about how cool it was. Like I really
didn't watch any
thought
of
it was. You didn't see it? You didn't go outside when it was going on? You didn't no desire?
It didn't happen here.
I know it didn't happen there, but like you didn't have a desire to like comb through pictures? Have you not looked through pictures, videos of the eclipse? Have you not none of that stuff? Oh
no,
dude,
I saw a little bit on social. I saw a little bit on social media. I posted a video, but I wasn't looking at it. Like it was just,
But you were looking at the the video.
I was just trying to be. I was just trying to be creative.
Yeah.
Right. And I was using some of my flexibility that I've gained over the years from yoga.
Yes.
And I shot my own video of it, but that. Oddly, it ended up on Mexican TV.
Hard to believe. And it made its way around the world, too. It was one of those like videos that you put out. Mm-hmm. And then like someone from a news station who doesn't have like certain footage from something kind of goes, hey, this might be it. But they don't watch the footage all the way to the end. So they must have been shocked when Mexico was inundated with complaints from your footage of the eclipse.
Yeah.
Do you want to show it?
Yeah, we'll run it. I mean, this is, I mean, I don't have an interpreter, but.
There you go. This is a clip of a Mexican television station showing a video of the eclipse as it is happening.
They're just showing different images from social media.
Yeah. And so they've got another visual.
This one's
here.
Mine.
This is yours.
Yeah, this is the one that I put out.
And then you see you dunking your balls over time.
Serían los municipios donde más se podría apreciar. Y ese último video que mandamos es un video.
So my balls made it onto Mexican news.
Or as they call them, they're cajones.
Did you see how much pixelation they had to use?
A lot of pixelation.
There was a lot of pixelation.
For everybody that didn't see that and isn't watching, listener, if you're listening to this on the Apple, Google, Spotify version of the podcast, you didn't see the video that we played of the eclipse. Now, a lot of people shared their eclipse videos, and certain news stations, some misrepresented what the actual eclipse was with different versions of the eclipse over the years. But like to be first out with the eclipse coverage was really important in Mexico. So they went and grabbed a clip off the internet. Now, that clip was someone like you, like me, who's like, hey, let's prank the world. And
I don't think that was what the attempt was. I think someone was just trying to be funny.
Let's prank
putting their nuts instead of the moon in front of the sun. Right. And
what the video was, to your point, yeah, is that someone slowly lowering themselves,
their testicles into the, it's all about angles
over the sun on a screen. So you couldn't, it would obscure the sun. That now, was an eclipse, but it was instead of the moon,
ball sack eclipse.
Ball sack. Yeah.
So I had somebody send that to me and said, were you out in the yard film? Like someone actually saw that before I saw it and sent it to me because they thought it would be something that I would do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why anybody would think that, but anyway, so I started sharing it with all my friends saying, hey, check it out. And then it showed up on Mexican TV as an example of some of the footage that people were taking of the eclipse when it happened the other day. Awesome. You got to love the world we live in.
Yeah, and it's funny because you
only in
it
Mexico.
Was such, it was this incredible event, right? Like it was this unbelievable. I went and watched it. I was out front of my house and I walked outside and it was downtown Toronto, and downtown Toronto is a pretty big place. And the eclipse kind of went right over Toronto, Southern Ontario. It was really fucking cool. I had a buddy of mine, Hank, went out to Sherbrooke, Quebec, went there, flew there just for the eclipse. And the video is incredible. It's posted on my Twitter feed at It's Dean Blundell.
But the friend of mine went down to Austin.
Yeah.
Apparently that was a really good spot. And yeah, they got married.
Oh, did they
plan their wedding eclipse around the eclipse?
Well, there are a lot of people that say the eclipse has like superpowers. They call that the blood moon. Remember that? Everybody's like, the most powerful time of the year is when there's a blood moon. This blood moon only happens one every 400 years. And so, you know, to astrologers, it was a big deal. Like there were conspiracy theorists. We'll get to some of them in just a minute. Astronomers were talking about how this is like,
you believe any of that?
I don't know, dude. I don't believe that the stars are going to dictate how my day is going to go, like Aquarius, Libra, astrology, that kind of shit. I don't believe in any of that. I mean, it's pretty fucking weird that,
yeah,
you know, on a day like that here, how eerie it was, how quiet it was in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like in your downtown Toronto, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I see it start to get dark. I look south and it is pitch black at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. North of me on Dovercourt, north of me was like super bright. And if you go and look at the video that I posted online, it is wild because your body and your mind and your brain, you're used to going, oh, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's light, but it got dark super fast. Like, you know, those big storms that roll over Alberta,
yeah,
when the sky green and black.
I love this. I love those.
Times that by 10, it was pitch black.
Yeah.
And on top of being pitch black, it was overcast. Like you couldn't actually see the eclipse from where I was because it was cloudy and it was raining. Right. But it was like, you could hear a pin drop in the city of Toronto. Toronto's one of the biggest cities in the world. One of the busiest cities in the world. It's a mega city. Everybody stopped. And I was driving just before the eclipse. And you could see people like lined up at the side of the roads, lined up outside of work. Everybody's got the glasses on. It was overcast. You couldn't see shit. Made me laugh my ass off. But the darkness and the serenity, and I don't know what that means in terms of astrology because I haven't looked into it. It was the weirdest experience, top five weird experience I've had in my life. Just actually,
you know,
being in the area where the total eclipse was.
So for me, I'm not one of those guys that sits down and reads this stuff or studies it. There's a lot of astrology in the yoga world. Mm-hmm. Like there's a science, there's a like a wing of it, an arm of yoga where you can study the astrology. And the thing that's eerie for me is I've seen the odd thing.
Yeah.
And it's bizarre when you start to actually look at what's happening in the world, not just personally, but in the world, and the implications from the people that study this. Like, okay, we're going to be in the time of Saturn, and that means this, and then the pandemic hits. Right, like we're in the time of retrograde, and this is a time of change. And
Venus, and as Venus is going into Uranus, I don't, and you get a heads up, look out, because that means all the white people in the world are going to get scabs on their face.
We're on the same page.
Gotcha.
Where I find it strange, like I've said this out loud. If you go on a date, like let's say you meet a nice young lady online, and you head to the bar to have a couple of drinks, okay?
Yeah.
And within a couple of minutes, she starts talking about her moods and how they're connected to
her chakras. The moon
and I would suggest you get back in your Toyota and go home.
Peace out.
Yeah. Get out of there as quickly as you possibly can. Now, 100%. Listen, if you're into it and that offends you, I apologize from the deepest portions of my heart.
Why?
But I just think you can't spend too much time looking into it. Now, here's what I will say. I have also had people in my life that are into this that have, and it's not my wife, people in my life that have decided that this is a thing.
Yeah.
And they will go out of their way to share things with you about maybe numerology, maybe your birth date. And whenever.
Which crystal works best for your genitals? Wave over your genitals, that kind of stuff.
I grew up with hippies, so I've seen this kind of stuff before in my life. And I will say this, I've been shocked at how much somebody can say about me and who I am and the type of person that I am based on when I was born and what my sign might be and my connection to the next sign. Like that stuff does kind of freak me out a little bit. Because quite often, it's very bang on. Have you seen anything like that?
Yeah, I don't look into it, though. Like, it's like revisionist history, you know, where someone's like, hey, you know, the Simpsons predicted this. Like, what are we going to fucking call Matt Groening a futurist? Right? Like,
well, actually, that's actually kind of crazy how much he's predicted.
Yeah, but some of those things.
Trump becoming president.
I know, but that's like. That's because he knows America. He knew at some point America would go, hey, you guys are going to go fucking insane. You're going to vote some con man.
But there's a lot of people in the United States of America for him to predict that.
Pit country. Yeah, I know there are a lot of people in the United States, but the guy ran for president every year since he was like 32. And he like finally broke through one year because he had all kinds of help from Russian oligarchs. And the entire country of America was like, fuck politics. They were like, fuck politics before we were fuck politics. And then they put Trump in and they're like, holy shit. That guy is psycho. Right. And so I don't know, like the stars, God, everybody had a piece of the eclipse is my point. Like,
yeah.
And some of the shit that came out of it, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, that psycho, a Republican congresswoman who said on Twitter,
she's crazy,
that the earthquakes combined with the eclipse were strong signs that God was telling Earth to repent. Oh God. And then Alex Jones, he was like, this whole thing is the globalists believe they can plan events, but the globalists are going to find out that the numbers that coincide with the actual eclipse and the times that they're over certain cities mean 666. That was another thing. Mark of the Beast. Loved that one. Well, my favorite one was like the one where they said they were going to shoot. This made me laugh. They were going to shoot like magic pedophile rockets at the sun and like with pedophiles in them to make a sacrifice.
What?
Make a sacrifice. And they're sacrificing pedophiles on a rocket they shot into the sun yesterday.
I didn't realize.
And then there was another pedophile rocket that went to the moon. Oh, yeah. Yeah, dude. There was all kinds of shit. Everybody was all over it. Everybody was this is what it means. And you get enough people out there that are like, I don't know when end is up. They'll latch on to anything. So a lot of people believe that stuff. I thought it was really funny.
You know what I think's happening right now is, and again,
we're dumb.
There's a lot. Well, I think people desperately are clinging to try to explain stuff. right? The world is crazy, and there's events and there's stuff out there that's driving us nuts. Mm-hmm. Right? Like even Moskrop yesterday, when we had him on, I mean, he hinted at the idea that sometimes, and this is a guy that has what, a doctorate, like he spent half his life studying and is in a wildly intelligent human being. And even he runs into things occasionally where he can't explain it and desperately is looking for something to explain, right? And then sometimes just has to go on Twitter and talk about his favorite chocolate bar, just unplugged, right?
That's all of us. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. There's like unfair things we don't understand, things we don't know. Like yesterday, people were in the middle searching of the podcast. And O.J. Simpson dies. O.J. Remember O.J.?
Yeah. I'm going to miss him on Twitter.
Yeah, me too. He was great. I always loved it when he'd open up his videos where he's like, "Hello, Twitter world. It's your good buddy, O.J. Simpson."
Are we allowed to make fun of this? I mean, he died. I know he's a
Can you make fun of a dead guy who killed two people and got away with murder?
I think we can, right?
And then laughed in the face of the law from Vegas while he ran around sowing wild oats, golfing. After almost decapitating his wife and a waiter. Yeah, I think you could probably joke around a lot about the fact that O.J. Simpson died of cancer and no one gives a shit. I don't care. Like, that's another part of this conversation. You know, I tweeted yesterday. I'm like, whatever. He's gone. Moskrop tweets that he doesn't think cancer should be allowed to not be convicted. They should let it go. Got to quit cancer. And watched other people kind of dunk on this guy who died of cancer. He had cancer for several months. He died surrounded by his children, grandchildren, I guess. But he's like the most fucking hated person in the history of fucking celebrities in North America for what he did back in the 90s, where he fucking murdered his wife and a waiter that she was banging. And got away with it because he had way better lawyers. And we're all sitting here laughing because he's dead, because it makes no difference to us. And everybody's like, have some respect for the dead. Do you have to respect all dead people? I don't think you do.
I'm confused by that one because I think it's a fine line, right? There does seem to be this sentiment that once somebody passes on to the afterlife, whatever that looks like for you,
yeah,
that no matter what they did, we're just supposed to, like, I've said this out loud numerous times. Why are we still playing Michael Jackson? I think everybody knows what happened there, right? Why is that still going on?
Yes, because he's...
Should we be playing Thriller on Halloween?
But they basically erased O.J. Simpson from the NFL's history books. They erased him from celebrity status. Like, he was not allowed to be in... Like, he literally lived like he was a fucking refugee. Like a celebrity refugee for the last 25 years of his life. And he was widely mocked everywhere he went. And that's the only thing I respect about OJ, is that he could walk around smiling, having fucking a couple of cocktails at a local bar in Vegas after a game of golf or somewhere in Florida close to his house. And he posts these videos completely unaware that everybody fucking hated his guts. Completely unaware. That takes a special kind of person.
I think... Well, we've talked about this, and again, not that we need to go down this road, but if you have never met a narcissist, mm-hmm. if you've never, I have one in my family. And so I knew about narcissism from a very young age. I remember we had conversations about this individual, my mom and I, and I was a teenager, and she was trying to explain to me the wiring, and it hit, you know, when it hit home for me, when I got into radio and I worked with a true narcissist. And apparently OJ was, there is people that drop on us that are in our lives. They're walking around. They don't care about anybody but themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a disease. I'm not sure if we can go down that path. I don't think there's a pill to fix this. There are people, and you might know them, And I'm not talking about selfish people. I'm not talking about people with an ego. I'm talking about this person does not care about anybody but himself. Mm-hmm. Trump's one. My uncle is one. Like, they do not, they will do whatever they can to get whatever they want. And again, you'll know it when you meet one. I have one in the family. I worked with one. And when you're surrounded by them, here we are. We're doing it. I didn't want to go down this path. When you're surrounded by somebody who is a true narcissist,
yeah,
who has no sense of empathy, mm-hmm. who doesn't care what you think, they have different goals. Some of them are sexual, some of them are money related, some of them are career related. When you meet one, there's so much confusion in the circles that they travel because mm-hmm. people are trying to understand them, right? They're like, why would he do that? I don't understand why he would do that. And I remember when I worked with this one individual, and I was aware of what narcissism was, and I knew that he was a severe narcissist. I would be involved because I was sort of on a managerial, sort of in a managerial role. There would be like, I don't get it. And I just kept saying out loud, he doesn't care what the consequences are. It doesn't, he's going to say whatever he thinks he needs to say to make you feel better about whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. He's going to do it again. That can't be. And they continue to get away with it because the people in their lives who almost become codependent, even if you're not even codependent, you become codependent because you're so confused by their actions and so confused by what they're doing.
Yeah. You want to figure it out.
You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to give them some in your own mind. You're going, why would he, I don't understand that. And we're dealing with that right now on sort of a national global front with Trump. Everyone's like, I don't understand why. Like, it doesn't make any sense. He is a complete and total narcissist. He doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. His number one goal is to just make money, and it's just all about him. Mm-hmm. And all his relationships fall apart. Right?
Well, they're not the relationships to a narcissist.
OJ was a narcissist, and apparently was a unbelievable narcissist. And there was talk about it for years. Yeah. People said it.
Yeah. Narcissist.
The Kardashian family said it.
Yep. Everybody did. And to that point,
that's why he did what he did. And that's why he was always smiling.
But narcissists like that, like really rich, famous narcissists, they've been mm-hmm. rewarded for it over time. So they feel like they can do no wrong. Like Elon Musk. Okay. I'm not going to talk about Elon. I'm not going to go through whether he's successful.
He's definitely a narcissist.
Absolutely a narcissist. Because the only thing he cares about is being at the top of the news cycle. Right. As long as people are talking about me, as long as I'm the guy, as long as people look at me like I'm the guy. And those are the people I think are the most interesting in the world, are those people that can create this alternative reality about what they are.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's like, no, I just want people to think that, because those people are made out of different stuff. That's why so many of them are incredibly successful. Right.
Yeah.
They don't care who they fuck. They don't care how they get fucked. They don't care about paying anybody back. They don't care about doing the right thing. They never mm-hmm. care about the truth, because none of those things matter when their needs are the most important needs in their universe. Like, nothing else matters, to the point where you can justify literally doing anything to anybody. Right.
But what also ends up happening,
OJ Simpson in a fit of rage, killing his wife and a boyfriend.
Things didn't go his way. And so
he's like, come, you got to kill, you now. And it was totally acceptable in his mind to do that. Like, it's totally acceptable for Donald Trump to do and say the things he's doing. Totally acceptable for people who don't give a fuck about your safety or my safety or our mental or emotional well-being to do and say the things that they do. By and large, politics has become an industry of narcissism in that capacity.
But Dean, not only that, most companies employ them. Because because they're so good at lying and getting what they want, they end up in, and they have no fear, they have no insecurities whatsoever about what it is their number one goal is, whatever they're trying to feed inside them. And again, some of it's sexual, some of it's like hierarchy, some of it's money, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever mm-hmm. it is, whatever that hole is that they're trying to fill constantly, they plow through life. And quite often you'll run into situations. I was recently employed by somebody that ended up with somebody running the company that is very much of this personality type.
Because they'll do
anything. They run companies. They take over things. They get into politics. That's the scary thing about politics right now. We don't have people in charge.
No.
On a mass level, they're because who in their right mind would get into politics right now? Well, I'll tell you, that complete and total narcissist whose number one goal is to just take control over things
and
to benefit themselves.
And to take as much as they can for themselves for doing as little as possible. And that's the beauty of a narcissist.
Every great company needs one. A really fucking good one. That's the problem. Can you find a narcissist with a sense of humanity? Really tough, right? That's why they're really good at being CEOs, being CFOs. Why?
You know what?
Because they can go in, look at a guy like you with zero education, no radio experience, no business doing the job they do, because they've been brought in to do one thing and one thing only. Fire everybody. Treat people like shit. And it takes, if you have never fired somebody, and I've fired people, if you've never fired somebody and you don't know what that feels like, it's the worst. You're changing someone's entire life. You're not giving them bad news. You're giving their family bad news. You're giving their friends bad news. You're destroying their psyche. You're destroying their emotions. You're really hurting them in the moment. Sometimes you set that person free. Sometimes you don't. But it takes a very special person to put 4,800 people out of work in one day. It takes a very special person. And what is that person? What do all those people have in common? People that can do that with a smile on their face because they know they're going to get a big fat headcount check as a bonus for being a dickhead is they enjoy it. They enjoy the power that it comes
with. You might actually see some enjoyment on their face. Here's another thing that they'll do, because a lot of times what ends up happening is the narcissist will quite often be fairly intelligent, and because they are hyper focused on that one thing, so they learn a lot about how to manipulate situations. So quite often you'll see somebody that is a narcissist, and it's obvious, once you meet one or meet a couple or have one in the family, it's easy to sort of pick out the traits, right? But they're very good at finding people that they can take advantage of. And a lot of times what will end up happening is the really good narcissists will find people to tag along with them that represent that empathy, that represent that better side of humanity. So it makes it even more difficult to pinpoint why things are happening the way they're happening in a company, in politics, in a family, because they have convinced a handful of people that have these good attributes, which they need to come along with them, and they've talked those people into their strategy. So
same guy, like when you're hammered and you know you shouldn't be hammered, it's like a 2 o'clock on a Tuesday and you're with people who aren't hammered. They've had a drink and you've had six or four, five. If you're me, eight. 10. And you're like, you got to stay and be drunk with me. You got to stay. This is a good time. Have a drink. Just stay with me. You know why they do that? That's a narcissist. It's an alcoholic narcissist, but it's narcissist. You know why they do that? It's because it's like they want to know they're corrupting other people, and other people are just as fucked as they are.
They need company. Yeah.
100%. It's like, I'm so lonely over here because I'm mentally deficient. So you got to come and hang out with me. It's the same thing. But yeah, we're surrounded by it. No, Jay was one. Maybe one of the great.
A lot of sports, a lot of people in sports that are able to hyper focus on one thing are very narcissistic in nature. They have that one goal. That's it. Yeah. That's they're and they can just concentrate on it, and they can start at the age of, and it shows up really early.
Oh yeah.
You know, like it's that, was it a surprise to anybody that Tiger
turned out to be a narcissist?
Was it a surprise to anybody?
No.
He was hitting a 1,000 golf balls a day by the time he was five. Right.
This is the only purpose is for you to be successful. So he's like, I guess I am.
Speaking of which, Masters this weekend, you're going to watch any of it? Tiger says every part of his body hurt.
48 years old. He's a super long shot, even though he's qualified. He's going to be partaking in the Masters. Worth it. Like, I mean, I'm going to watch it this week, and I haven't watched golf since Tiger was a stud, but
I love the Masters.
I do too, because it's like that weekend. A, most vasectomies in the world happen on Masters weekend because guys like to sit up on the couch with a bag of peas on their nuts.
I did that. Yeah, so did you get
100% had a vasectomy in April like 10 years ago? I was like,
I'll take one of those, please.
This weekend.
There was like five of us in the waiting room, too. And I'm looking around going, looks like all these guys play golf.
Yeah, but I'm excited for it. And I'll tell you why I'm excited for it is because it's not just about this tradition. I'm a golf fan, love golf. But the Masters is like, it basically says spring and summer here to me.
Yeah.
Because that's how I grew up. I'm like, oh, the Magnolias and Magnolia Lane, the Azaleas. And but what it is it's a fucking awesome weekend to wake up, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep, wake up, fall asleep on the couch for two fucking solid days. And it starts on Friday afternoon.
I was going to put the game, our Masters on behind the TV behind me, but I was like, Dean will be upset if I'm like.
If you turn around and watch, yeah, I haven't watched 1 second of it. I've got a PVR. I'm going to go watch Thursday today, later on this afternoon. But dude, that is my weekend, Masters weekend. It is a tradition. You want to hear what I do? Yeah, yeah. I get a big charcuterie board for the entire weekend.
There you go.
Cheese, eggplant. A lot of people don't like the eggplant.
I don't like the eggplant.
Crackers.
It makes me gassy.
Pickled antipasto stuffs, and I eat it through the course of the entire weekend. And I usually get a charcuterie board, like a $300 charcuterie board.
Really? I've never done that.
Well, it's got to last Friday. It's got to last Saturday. It's got to last Sunday, right? So that's what I do. And then I'll eat until I fall asleep, and then I'll fall asleep to Jim Nance going, and a tradition like no other. And I'm like, oh, there's Jim Nance again. I've been listening to that voice since I was 12. This is great.
I didn't really get into the golf until I hit 30. I never played golf until I was in my early 30s.
It is the perfect sleep sport to watch.
I don't watch a lot of – I watch – what's the one where they all go crazy? The tournament. The golf tournament.
Oh, Waste Management Open.
Waste Management. I watch that because it's just a gong show. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're going to try to put their thumb on it because you got two out of hand this year, which is sad. Too much of a party. I like watching that one because you can tell that the golfers are kind of into it as well.
Yeah.
I watch the Masters and I watch the Ryder Cup. I really like the Ryder Cup.
Yeah.
Have you watched Full Swing?
Yeah, on Netflix. It's amazing. It takes you behind. It's like that Netflix series that they did. They did it with quarterbacks. They do it where they take you behind the scenes of like a professional tour.
There's a second season out just dropped. Yeah. So the first season was, they're a year behind, right?
Yeah.
And they just dropped the second season maybe like a month ago, and I'm about halfway through it. So there's a lot of the fallout from the players joining LIV, but then that marriage again between the PGA and LIV. So it's, if you're a golf fan, it's worth it. You might want to put that on maybe after the Masters.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to watch it. The first season was great. It was like, oh my God, I had really no idea Brooks Koepka was that big of an asshole. Right?
And it does shed a light on some of the personalities.
And you get like this entitlement factor around golfers you don't get in any other sport, like that. You know, never get your hands dirty, sort of like you grew up a rich kid, only rich kids play the sport. It comes out in like every single word every one of those PGA Tour players say, where it's like, oh, this guy has no idea what it's like to do a fucking honest day's labor. All he's ever done is fucking work at golf. All he's ever done is
I am a fan of Rory, though, more so now after Full Swing.
He was pretty realistic, practicing stoic, by the way, just to let you know.
Is he? Okay. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Ego is the Enemy is his favorite book, Practicing Stoic as well. But to your point, you get that feeling from every single one of those. You want to talk narcissism in sports? Golfers might be the most narcissistic. Like a guy like Phil Mickelson.
Phil, apparently, that was one of the things that I had a hard time wrapping my head around.
That he was that how much of a cock?
How much of a dick Phil was. And that has been supported by numerous people inside and outside the game. And I'm like, wow, that's too bad. I always sort of cheered for Lefty a bit.
One of my very good friends is a former Canadian PGA Tour pro. His name is Ian Leggett.
And he won the Tucson Open years ago. 2004, Salt Lake?
I know, Ian. Wasn't there a conversation about getting him on the podcast?
Yeah. He's down in Florida. He's a golf pro now. He's doing great. Doesn't play anymore. And listen, I've hung around with him lots. And he's not a guy that tells stories out of school. Like, he would not shit talk his fellow colleagues on the tour. But there was one guy, one dude, that he said is universally fucking hated
by
every single golfer that shows up to golf every single weekend, no matter if he's in the tournament or not. And it's Phil Mickelson. And he goes, dude, you know how much of a dick this guy is? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Of course I do. I love these stories. He said he's following Wiersey. Can't remember the name of the tournament. Following Wiersey. Wiersey's in the lead. He's paired with Phil. Phil is slowly fading, right? Even though he's paired with Phil in one of the second last or last groups. And Phil has no skin in the game. He's like, not going to win. He might come in top 10. Doesn't matter. He's bailing on the back nine. He sucks. And so Mike's got a real chance to win this tournament, Wiersey. Like, a real chance. Gets up on 18 to hit his golf ball down the middle of the fairway. In the middle of Mike Weir's backswing, Phil, who's out of it, opens up a bag of chips.
Apparently he did a lot of stuff like that.
And Mike flails his drive into the woods. Can't even look at him. Lego's like 10 feet behind him on the tee box. And he looks at Phil and he goes, what the fuck are you doing? And Phil just gave him the finger and started walking down the fairway.
I love stories like that. Like,
go fuck yourself. Conversely, the person everybody wants to hate, Tiger Woods, Ian Leggett will tell everybody who ever talks to him. And I love Ian. Ian's salt of the earth. Nicest guy you'll ever meet. Absolutely no bones. Not a liar. He does not misrepresent people. He said Tiger Woods might be the best
loves guy waffles. On tour.
The best guy on tour.
Loves waffles.
Loves the players. Gives all the players anything they want, any merch, anytime they want. Signed, what can I get you? What do you need? Lego walks up to him and he goes, dude, I've got this Ronald McDonald House charity tournament. I would love for you to come. He goes, Lego, I can't. I just can't. You know I can't. But tell me what you need. And he's like, anything you can send. Sends up a boatload of stuff to give to the kids.
That's
all
good.
Autographed. And he's like, he's the most respectful golfer you'll ever play with. But he said Phil is the biggest asshole on tour. Close second is Bryson DeChambeau. Shocker. Everybody knows it. Third, Brooks Koepka. And then they do the Charles Howell the thirds and all the guys with the fucking colonial names and stuff like that.
Yeah. You have to focus that much time and attention on one thing. Mm-hmm. You have to be a little bit crazy. I remember when my daughter got into dance, we did what we did, what everybody does, parents, right? You throw your kid into the girl guides or brownies or whatever, and then you get them to skate and soccer and right. And then we put them in dance classes. She became obsessed with it. Mm-hmm. And that's all she wanted to do. Ended up at 11 years of age, the Royal Winnipeg Ballet was doing an audition, and her ballet teacher approached us in this class. And at this time, my daughter was dancing with kids that were 2 or 3 years older than her. And the ballet teacher pulled us aside at the Dansko Dance Studio here in St. Albert, Alberta. And she said, you know, your daughter's really good at dance, eh? And we're like, yeah, she's great, isn't she? And she was like, no. Your daughter is exceptional. And so I want her to try out for the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. They're in town this weekend. So we said, okay, no problem. They accepted her right away. Not only that, they gave her this Alberta scholarship. So out of all the kids they saw, they gave her the top prize, kind of like the platinum ticket.
Did she turn into a narcissist douchebag like Phil Mickelson? Is that where you're going with this?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
So anyway, we didn't send her that year. It's a long story. We sent her the next year. She was 13 years of age, spent 9 years at the Royal Winnipeg Ballet. And it is a very difficult sport. It eats its young. there was literally 100 girls that went through that program that did not continue on with it. My daughter went on to dance in Europe for a couple of years. Her knee, too much pain, came back to Canada. She's now teaching at a very nice school in Vancouver. Anyway, the point of it is we talk to so many parents about, you know, the your kids' wirings, and a lot of kids didn't make it. They didn't get through the stress and the mental anguish of ballet. My daughter coasted through that. So she got two gifts, one from my wife, which is her side of the family, unbelievable athletes, dad, brother, the whole family, amazing athletes. My wife has a perfect golf swing. I look like I got a head injury when I do any sport. I'm insane. She got that gene from me, and we gave her the gift of ballet. Yeah. She got crazy from dad and was able to like focus and go through no problems when all the other girls are like eating disorders. Riley was just like, just no problem. Got through it. And she had athletic ability. You have to be nuts to do a lot of these sports. You have to be crazy.
Yeah, but you got to be focused. And a lot of those people that put their, like, listen, ballet is not a
hockey's cheap no different.
Thing to put your kids in. Hockey's no, not a cheap
thing. It was $25,000 a year.
Yeah, is golf, what it costs. Not a cheap thing to put your kids in. Soccer, totally cheap to put your kids in. Doesn't cost a dime. So you look at soccer players, by and large, right? Specifically soccer players, the least most entitled. Like the least amount of stress you see around any sport, got to be soccer players, right? They are. I mean, sure.
Baseball, stuff like that's another one.
Baseball, full that's entitlement, same thing. But you see guys that are able to play with a stick and a ball in the Dominican and Cuba, and they come up and they're like, most of them are really grateful, right? They've had to work hard at it.
That's different.
It required something. It didn't require money to get that kid to be outstanding at it, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of rich parents, they will put their, and do you see it in hockey all the time, specifically with Canada hockey, that to play AAA hockey in this country, let's just go through it. My son played AAA hockey for a couple of years. He's now 24, hasn't played since he was like 13, 14. 25, 30 grand a year for AAA hockey for one player, right? And then you've got skates on top of that, like going to skates that you have to pay for. And then you got dry land training, and then you've got goalie training, and then you've got strength training, and then you've got power skating. And there are some parents that are so wealthy that only want this thing for their kid. They put their kid in this thing, and very few of those kids actually want to do that thing, right? Very few. And some that want to do that thing that come from backgrounds where they don't have money know how important it is to do that thing, and they'll be able to soldier through it, right? Or you come from good parents like you, you'll be able to soldier through it. You guys didn't have to really pay for that, right? Because she was very gifted at it. She could do it. But there are a lot of parents out there that have all kinds of money to be able to force their children into these things. And these kids grow up with this idea like, well, what? Of course I can just go to like, of course I'm going to get all that equipment. Of course that I'm really good at this. Like they don't know anything else. And so anytime they fail, right? Anytime something bad happens to that kid, who indelibly probably becomes a narcissist at some point because their parents said it was all about them. So they thought it was all about them and they grew up thinking it was all about them. They have no way of dealing with failure.
There's a downside to this too.
People that don't go through a program like that is because they failed once or twice and it was way too hard. It was so unfamiliar because they were told, like Phil, like every other rich kid, that they were special. They could do no wrong. It's like the worst thing you could tell a kid. You're special. No, you're not. You're not exempt from the business of life, dude. Failure's a great teacher. Go and do it. Failure and the unwillingness to learn from it because your family's super rich and they don't like consequences either, that creates narcissists big time.
The sad thing about this is we were lucky with Riley, my bluebird, the dancer, because we never forced her to do it. She took us on this path because she was so hyper-focused on it. It was all she wanted to do. For her, I think her 8th or 9th birthday, she wanted a ballet bar in her bedroom. So we literally reorganized her child bedroom to put a mirror up and a ballet bar so that she could practice at home. That's how, and that's what she wanted for her birthday. But the sad thing about this is the, you mentioned it. They don't know what consequence is. They don't know what failure is. They don't know how to deal with it. And quite often aren't given the tools, especially somebody that was very successful to deal with it. And it's been an ongoing concern. I was watching a story, obviously, with the NCAA, the March Madness, and that tournament just wrapping up here not too long ago. Lots of focus on that on the sports channels. But there was one story about the number one cause of death with student athletes in the United States. And it's not number one yet, but it's just about is suicide. Sweet. I think I think suicide is number two to heart attacks of all things, but
guns.
Anyways.
You sure it's not gunplay?
No.
Gun violence. It's gotta be up there.
Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is gun, but suicide is the second highest cause of death for student athletes in the United States. At the NCAA level. Interesting. If you get a chance, I don't know when it's going to be. I'll check with Adam Scorgi, but we had him on about a month ago. We were chatting about the new doc that he did about Phil Heath called Breaking Olympia. Yeah. Phil Heath is a bodybuilder.
Yeah. World famous.
Yeah. Seven titles in a row and then went for eighth. And that's what the story's around. During COVID went for eighth after an injury too. It's really cool doc. And Scorgi and his team, they co-produced it with Rock's production team. $7.
Wayne Johnson. Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah.
So that was big news for Scorgi. He had a massive partner with that. And I think they're working on another project with the Rocks, with Dwayne Johnson's production company as well. But anyway, in that story, I didn't know about this. I knew Phil Heath's name from bodybuilding. I did not know that he was he won the national title as a basketball player when he was a kid.
Oh, did he really?
For an NCAA went to college and didn't quite do as well, obviously. Right. And had a lot of depression and talked about very openly in the doc about thoughts of suicide while he was in college and university in Denver. I think he was in Colorado when he was playing ball.
All right.
Because he wasn't doing well. Had an injury and wasn't making the team. And yeah. So that is a great doc. But that's something to be very careful about. You're going to run into this. If you're having kids right now or your kid is excelling at something, keep an eye on that. On that, there's got to be a little bit of balance. It's tough. Like we had a ton of conversations when Riley was growing up, right? About because when she couldn't dance, we were dealing with the anxiety and the depression, right? Around that. Like she got injured when she blew her knee out and had to go for surgery when she was, I think, 15. And man, she crashed on us, right? And then we were really worried. So as parents, there's a fine line between that support and then also keeping an eye on, you want them to be normal, right? You know,
great advice that I got years ago, and it's because my oldest guy struggled, and it was, save everybody the details, but it's a parent has to decide if they want to prevent their children from failure or encourage it.
Yeah.
It's what you have to do as a parent. You want to prevent your kids from failure, ever seeing it, ever learning how to deal with it, ever learning how to get over a hard thing, learning how to tell the truth, learning how to say, I'm sorry, learning how to stand up and be accountable for mistakes you make, learning how to not make mistakes in certain areas or not repeat the bad ones. And as parents, you know what we've done for a long time? And this is the biggest problem that we have today with parents. As the parents are so concerned with themselves, they're not interested in teaching their kids to embrace failure as a teacher. They're teaching their kids to avoid it, stay away from it. So in everybody's life, you're going to have, and then, man, this is the problem that I see, and we're going there. I'm going to go there. This is the problem that I see with people that go to protests every weekend. It's a problem that I see with people who tweet about how miserable they are and how what's going to happen in everybody else's life if this happens and if that guy does this and if this guy gets in and if you vote for that.
We see it all day long. These are people who are afraid because they've never had to deal with anything like this before. So they don't have any perspective as to, oh, this is just something that happens in life. Sometimes things go well. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes your guy wins the election. Sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes you get fired. Sometimes you get hired. Sometimes you do well. Sometimes you don't do well. Sometimes you have a great day. Sometimes you have a bad day. But it is amazing watching how many parents that I talk to on a daily basis who kids still struggle, and those kids struggle the most. Parents who prevented their children from falling down the stairs. Mm-hmm. Parents who prevented their children from failing an exam. Because that just can't happen to your child. So you go in and you're like, I'm going to stand up for my kid. Even if that kid did something wrong or they didn't do their job, it's the worst thing you could do for your child. And we are fucking literally eating those results right now as a society. Yep. You know, the people that show up to any protest, right? The crazy woke weirdos on the left that show up to protest against something and then they beat the shit out of people at that protest saying, we're the better people. And the people on the right are like, they do the same thing and say, we're the better people. Those are those kids. Those are those people that have never had to go, I got to figure this out for myself.
You might not.
I need to get on top of this world. I need to get on top of these issues. And I know this is a fun fucking conversation for some people, but it is true. It's the truest of true. Any single person that says to themselves or you that life didn't meet their expectations or it is too hard, we're all victimhood. Living the same fucking thing. And that is a result of terrible fucking parenting. Period. Stop.
You might not be wrong. I'm trying to think of examples from being a parent, from being a father, with my girls, where we taught them accountability. And I will say this. God love my wife. She did most of the heavy lifting on the parenting side of things.
We know that. That's why you ended up with two great kids.
My kids are awesome. I remember my daughter at one point, she was going on a field trip. And the teacher, I don't know, they were going swimming or that doesn't matter what it was. The teacher was trying to get permission slips from the parents. And so she calls out my daughter in the middle of the class and says, all right, I don't have permission slips from so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. And Natasha, my oldest monkey bird, she didn't have a permission slip. So she took it and signed it. And while she was walking out, put it down on the table and said, my parents are not going to sign this. They've told me countless times that I am responsible for myself and what I do.
She's in the fifth grade.
So if you want to, she was in high school. She goes, if you want to call them, that's fine. That's up to you.
Yeah.
And if you don't want me to go on this, but I am not taking this slip home. And she brought up something the teacher said in the class to strengthen her position about how they had to sort of take responsibility for themselves. She goes, well, this is me taking responsibility for myself. And I think she said, and we're going to, I'll swear, we're going to the fucking pool. Which actually, I think my daughter may have said.
Probably. She's your daughter.
It's not like we're going to New York.
Yeah.
Right?
For a week. For a swim down the street. It's no big deal. I can
we're
go.
Going to the I pool. Can, this I is ridiculous. Consent. I have to get my dad to sign this pink slip.
Dude, you got to sign like more than one waiver now to go to the pool. You got to sign a thing that says you're kicking going. And you got to sign a thing that says if anything happens to my kid, like if he drowns, it's not your fault. That's the other thing you got to sign.
And I understand. Point. I understand where the teachers are coming from. Yeah. But I don't know what it was that we did specifically to instill that accountability in my daughters.
Who
but
cares?
Both of them have it. And
yeah.
And again, it probably was more so my wife than me. But interestingly enough, both of them are very strong-minded. They have,
capable, independent, not afraid of life.
They're not perfect. They make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember when they screwed up, we would like, all right, well, you're dealing with this.
Yeah.
Right? Like
100%. Dude, and that's the fucking other part, right?
Yeah.
For so many parents, they punish their children as opposed to turn the consequences on their children and say, this is something you got to fix. I can't do it. And they're like, can I get some help? And you're like, sorry, you can't.
Kids are not dumb either. Like,
to that point, I got a phone call this year from my son, who's 18, he's graduating, his vice principal. She's like, Mr. Blundell, I just wanted to introduce myself. I'm so-and-so. I'm like, hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. It's a bunch of nice stuff about Jake. He's getting some awards. Really nice. Nice stuff about Jake. It's like, but I've never met you. I've met your ex-wife several times, but I've never met you. Have you come to parent-teacher interviews? I go, nope. Have you come to curriculum night? Have I met you there? No. No, I said, I got to be honest with you. And keep in mind, my son's gone to the same high school for the last 4 years. I said, I've never set foot in your school. She's like, I find that hard to believe. I said, no, that's not my place. That's his place. He's in charge of himself. He's in charge of his behaviors and all the consequences that come with it. And so I do not insert myself into my son's stuff. So if he's got something that he's got to deal with you or anybody else at school, he'll come home and we will talk about it. And then he goes back into school armed with a bunch of great information and the idea that in his response to whatever it is he's responding to, that will curate his karma, his future, and what happens. So that's how we deal with things here. And she's like, I've never heard that before. 1,500 people at that school. 1,500 kids. She goes, I've never heard a parent talk like that. I go, how long have you been a teacher? She's like, 30 years. I go, really? You've never heard someone go, not my place, that's my kid's place. I'll deal with him as a human being. And when he goes to school, that's his practice. That's where he practices for the rest of his life, is in school, how to be, how to do, and how to take charge and how to be in control. And she's like, oh my God.
Why was she calling? I want to know why.
Well, because he's getting a bunch of awards. And she's like, I just wanted to introduce myself to you. You've never been to the school, or I've never seen you here. Bunch of nice stuff about my son, Jake. He's a whip. And you know why he's a whip? Because I let him fail. And I let him figure it out. And I empowered him to do it. And I never punished him or prevented him from his own consequences. Not once.
I went to one parent-teacher meeting. And I got into a fight with the teacher over being a Habs fan. And because they were in French immersion. And I said, you will not brainwash my child into becoming a Habs fan. If my daughter comes home, starts cheering for the Montreal Canadiens, I'm pulling her out of the school. My wife was so mortified. I was trying to be funny, but there was no, that this teacher did not see the humor in it.
Yeah.
And I even started pointing out, like, there was posters on the wall of like Habs players. And I'm like, no books, no curriculum, nothing. I don't want any Montreal Canadiens. And again, I was doing a bit of a bit.
Yeah, like joking. You're trying to create a little relationship. You're trying to play it off a little bit.
That's the last parent-teacher meeting I ever went to.
Probably.
I have some advice.
Yeah. By the way, I went to all the parent-teacher meetings of my oldest kid. Always stood in the way of his consequences. He went to rehab twice by the time he was 19.
Yeah.
So if you would like a great example of someone who's lived those consequences and who knows a better way, call me. I'll walk you through it.
The one thing I try not to do is I try not to give people advice on raising kids because I think it's a slippery slope.
Yeah,
and everybody has a different sort of idea on how to do that.
No, I'm right.
That's why you might be right, and I'm not going to take that away from you. And the accountability piece is huge, and you've seen it.
Did worked for me.
Did work, but I say this: if anybody, because people have an idea of who I am, right?
Yeah.
I think people will, you know, judge me and put me in some sort of a box or whatever, and they probably think my kids are, you know, or a gong show or whatever. But then when they meet them, anybody in my life who's ever met my kids will go, this doesn't add up. Like this over here, this Lachlan Cross from the locker room, you know, 30 years of, you know, radio, morning radio, that la 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 la. And then these kids, these well-balanced, sort of polite, confident young ladies, that doesn't make any sense, especially if they don't meet my wife, which she sort of brings things together. But I've always said, if anybody is curious, for advice from me about parenting, I've said this. Your kids have to know that you love them. That's the only rule, because you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna fuck up. You're gonna do things you shouldn't have done. That's the only rule, I think. It's the only parenting rule I would ever give anybody. Just make sure they know that you love them. That's it.
Always wear a condom.
That's not a bad idea. Yeah. That's wrong. I've given this advice too. If you've got daughters, keep them busy. It keeps penises out of them. Kids that are running around the neighborhood, you know, at like 2 o'clock in the morning, keeps penises out of them. Keep them busy. Like, we had our kids doing something 6-7 days a week.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Arden Roof System bringing you the locker room retro replay of the day. This is a quick one. And again, this one speaks for itself.
The locker room retro replay.
You know what? I love a little R&B. You know what I mean?
Me too. Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about how Stevie Wonder met his wife?
No.
It was a blind date.
You might be the worst human being I know.
There you go. A quick one. That's brought to you by Arden Roof Systems. Sign up for the Arden Roof Systems Charity Golf Tournament. Do so by going to ardenroofsystems.com. Dean, we're losing you again. I think your computer's dying. Anyway, this happened to us yesterday too, or the other day. I can't hear you. I'm gonna pull you out and come back in. Honest, maybe it's me. Anyway, while he's doing that, I'll find a way to sign off here. Okay. Dean, are you there? Nope. All right. One more quick note about the Arden Roof Systems Golf Tournament. If you go to ardenroofsystems.com, there's a sign up. And I want to make sure that everybody knows that the early bird wraps up at the end of April. So you can get yourself and a team in before the end of April with the early bird pricing. Okay. And again, ardenroofsystems.com. We're also brought to you by Fact Check and Muse. Okay. There you go. I'm going to sign off. Have yourself a good day, everybody.